Words died on his lips, and Kira and Saulo hastily ducked their heads and pulled down the brims of their own hats to cover their faces. Because standing just outside the lobby was a Grindelid in an enviro suit. Han couldn't tell if he was one of Lady Proxima's soldiers or not, but he was clearly waiting there, watching for somebody. Luckily, a uniform worked like a stealth cloak. The Grindelid glanced at them, and then his gaze slipped away like water. Han breathed a sigh of relief. But he was on even higher alert now. The white worms were still after them. The Kaldana Syndicate wouldn't let them die quickly. And if the Imperial Stormtroopers saw through their disguises, hadn't he heard somewhere that using false identichips was punishable by death? They entered through doors that were large enough to allow a commuter shuttle to pass. Han tried not to gawk at the atrium inside. The slick floors shimmered with marble or quartz or some material Han wasn't familiar with. The ceiling was lofty, at least 4 stories high, and hung with sleek, minimalist chandeliers that lit the space in bright white. Ahead was a help desk, manned by 1 human and 2 droids. Beside it was a waiting area with several benches, many of them already occupied. To their left was a bank of turbo lifts. Kira was looking around, calculating. She studied the benches, the desk, the walls, even the potted plants. Her gaze lingered on the 2 sentry droids standing guard near the lifts, then drifted to the security personnel patrolling the lobby perimeter. "Your plan is going to work," Han assured her. He really hoped her plan was going to work. "Yeah, once we find the right cell block. I'm looking for a posted map of the building. Government facilities are supposed to post floor plans, right? It's regulation. To show emergency exits? I thought it might tell us which part of the building was occupied by Imperials." He and Saulo took up the search, scanning walls, looking for kiosks. All Han saw was an abstract painting that might have been a Corellian freighter zooming through space, and a larger-than-life portrait of Emperor Palpatine. "I got nothing," Han said. "Just some creepy guy in a painting who seems to be looking at me no matter where I stand."
I don't see anything either, said Saulo. The great philosopher Flacio Crenna once said, "That which you seek hardest to find remains hidden the longest."
"What does that even mean?" Han said. Saulo shrugged.
"Actually, I have no idea."
"This is no problem," Kira said firmly, as if to herself. "No problem at all. We'll head toward the lifts. Maybe it's posted there."
"I think the lifts are for official personnel only," Han pointed out.
"We are official personnel, remember?" she said. "Besides, do you have a better idea?"
"As a matter of fact, I do," Han said. "Watch and learn."
And with that, he strode forward to the help desk, Kira and Saulo at his heels. A woman was ahead of him in line. She pleaded with the droid clerk that her identichip had been confiscated by Corsec in error, that she couldn't afford to pay the speeder ticket fines, much less have her citizenship reinstated. A moment later, she fled in frustration, tears streaming down her face.
"May I help you?" asked a bored, mechanical voice.
"I certainly hope so," Han said,
giving his best approximation of Kira's imperiousness.
"My..."
he almost said friends.
"Colleagues and I are fresh off the shuttle from, Salonia. And we're late for an Imperial meeting. Please direct us to the right floor."
"I didn't know Sinar APL scientists had interests on Salonia,"
the droid observed. Han shrugged.
"The Advanced Projects Laboratory has interests everywhere, and I don't question my orders. I just go where they tell me."
"That is wise," said the droid. "Please insert your identichip into the reader there."
He indicated a slot mechanism that jutted from the table.
"Once it checks out, I can clear you the whole way."
Han fumbled with the identichip inside his breast pocket, almost dropping it as he pulled it out. He shoved it into the reader, thinking, "Please work, please work, please work." The reader whirred for a moment, then the indicator light turned soft blue.
"Everything checks out," the droid said. "The turbo lifts are that way. Imperial offices are on the 5th floor,
And the holding cells, Han prompted.
Why do you need to go there?
I'm afraid that's above your pay grade, Han replied.
Fine. The holding cells are on the 6th floor. Have a nice day. If you are contacted with a survey, please indicate that I was helpful to you and that you left satisfied with Corsac's service.
Wordlessly, Kira and Saulo inserted their identichips and were cleared to follow Han. The three of them headed for the lifts. Kira whispered,
Han, that was very well done.
He smiled so wide it made the burn on his face sting. They entered the lift and punched the 6th floor. They had the capsule to themselves, so Kira said,
Remember, don't detonate the ball thingies until I say. Getting in will be easy. We need them for getting out.
Yes, ma'am,
Han said with a mock salute. The door of the lift slid open, and they stepped into a low-ceilinged vestibule filled with stormtroopers, even a handful of gray-uniformed officers. Han had to remind himself to breathe. Okay, maybe not filled, exactly. Han counted 5 stormtroopers and 2 officers. If things went badly, it was 7 against 2. 7 blasters against 2 ball thingies, that is. Not the worst odds he'd faced.
Saulo, pull out that data pad, Kira whispered. Try to look official.
Beyond the stormtroopers, a glittering shield blocked off a long hallway, lined with cell doors on either side. The engineer's crew member was somewhere inside.
Delightful, said one of the officers. More lab grunts.
He sat at a desk looking irritated. Han prepared for trouble. There was no one in the galaxy touchier than an Imperial officer stuck at a desk job.
Lab grunts? Kira said, one eyebrow raised in a look of utter contempt.
This was the part Kira had all planned out, so Han kept quiet, letting her take over.
The officer shrugged. It's just what we call them, he said.
He turned toward his console.
Looks like we're not expecting anyone. How can I help you?
We're here for prisoner 248C, Kira said. He'll be coming with us.
Is he being transferred?
Of course not.
Then why?
He's needed for scientific inquiry.
Word on the street was that the Empire had a business arrangement with certain favored corporate entities to provide subjects for weapons and environment testing. Sentient beings disappeared from the Imperial holding block all the time, especially non-humans. Kira was certain that was why the engineer had provided these specific uniforms. Han hoped she was right. The officer frowned.
You lab grunts with your aliens. It's disturbing, I don't mind saying. Go ahead and scan your identichips, and I'll lower the shield.
They did as asked, and once again the reader indicator turned soft blue. The identichips were perfect counterfeits. Something remarkable had been encoded on them, something that identified them as scientists with enough clout that even Imperial officers let them pass. Of course, if Han had learned one thing from working for Lady Proxima, half of getting away with anything was acting like you belonged exactly where you were. When in doubt, brazen it out. The officer hit a switch on his console, and the soft buzz of the shield went silent. He waved them through.
Go along now. The prisoner you're looking for is in cell 19. Do you want some help? He's a big fellow.
Kira smiled serenely.
We came prepared. We'll be fine. Thank you, though.
Sure. If you change your mind, just holler.
The stormtroopers moved out of their way, and the three of them stepped into the hallway of the cell block.
We have to hurry, Kira whispered, quickening her pace. Let's get this done before he thinks to call his superiors about an unexpected visit.
They didn't have far to go to reach cell 19. In fact, Han would have felt better if it had been farther down the hall, away from the vestibule and the stormtroopers. Han stretched on his tiptoes and peered through the tiny window in the door. The cell was dirty, with a single, crooked cot holding an empty meal tray. Something long and hairy lay on the floor against the wall, its back to the door. Han could see why it was on the floor. It was way too big for the cot.
Han? Kira prodded. Anything?
Something is in there, Han said. Not sure what. I think it's asleep. Su'ulo said,
"Let's just get this over with."
He reached forward and palmed the door open. It slid wide with a whoosh of fetid air. The cell hadn't been cleaned in who knew how long. The creature against the wall stirred, turned over. It was a Wookiee, Han could see now. As soon as the Wookiee saw them, he leaped to his feet with a roar.
"We're here on behalf of your boss," Kira said, talking fast and low. "The engineer. She sent us to rescue you."
The Wookiee stopped mid-leap, landed easily, and cocked his head at her. He was a giant, at least 2 heads taller than Han, and his brown fur was streaked with white. Blue beads were woven into the hair flowing from his face, and his nose twitched incessantly, as though he was sniffing them. Han knew a little about Wookiees. He'd encountered some while running errands for Lady Proxima, had even picked up a few words of Shriwook. But not enough to be useful. If this fellow didn't understand basic, they were screwed.
"I have a plan to get you out of here," Kira continued.
The Wookiee tossed his head, making a noise that was something between a groan and a yawn. Han recognized one word.
"He said food," Han told him. "Maybe he's hungry. Sorry, pal, I don't have any food, but we can take you to get some."
The Wookiee groaned again.
"Ship?" Han asked him. "Did you just say ship?"
The Wookiee nodded vigorously.
"You're joking," Kira said. "He made the exact same groaning sound as the last time."
Han blinked.
"No, the sounds are totally different."
"Whatever," Kira said. "Will you come with us?" she said to the Wookiee.
He shook his head violently.
"Blast! Why not?"
He growled something, but Han understood very little.
"I think he doesn't trust us. Something about invisibility? No, disappearances. But I'm not sure."
Su'ulo said,
"We don't have time to argue with him."
"We prepared for this contingency," Kira said, reaching for her breather.
Su'ulo and Han followed suit, and Su'ulo pulled the first ball thingy from his pocket. The Wookiee roared.
"Now, Su'ulo!"
Kira shoved the breather against her nose and mouth. The Rodian flicked the button on the sun charge. The Wookiee leaped for Kira, hands reaching for her throat. The stun charge lifted into the air and spun, shooting yellow and green gas from tiny jets at its circumference. The Wookiee faltered, then fell to one knee. His head lolled for a moment before he crashed to the ground.
"That takes care of one problem,"
Kira said, her lips tight to the breather so no gas could enter her lungs.
"Now we wait. How long will it take?"
Han asked. He knew they had to wait for the gas to dissipate for their plan to work. But if they took too long, those Imperials might get suspicious. Su'ulo held up a hand as if telling him to have patience. After a moment, he lowered it and removed his breather.
"Should be fine now. The gas disappears fast. I'm sure she engineered it specifically for stealth maneuvers."
Made sense.
"Ready for the next step?"
Han said to Kira. Kira nodded, taking a deep breath. Then she ran into the hallway, shouting,
"Get in here at once! We have a huge problem, and I will not stand for it!"
Kira could use some lessons in lying. She was overdoing it a bit. Nevertheless, a flurry of bootsteps indicated that people were coming their way fast. The officer and 2 of the stormtroopers skidded to a stop just outside the cell.
"Look at this," Kira said, seemingly so angry she could breathe fire. "This prisoner is in terrible shape. What have you been feeding him? When I tell my superiors what you've done to our asset..."
"We did nothing," the officer protested. "This isn't our fault. He was fine at the last feeding."
Kira peered into his face.
"You know a lot about Wookiees, then?"
No, I guess not."
"Then how do you know he was fine?"
"I guess I didn't... I mean, his appetite was fine. He didn't give us any trouble."
Su'ulo pointed to his data pad and began jabbering at the Imperials, ostensibly instructing them on some basics of Wookiee physiology. In actuality, he was insulting their mothers and wishing them bad bowels. Han kept a perfectly straight face,
and hoped quietly that none of them understood a single word of her tease. Kira tapped her bottom lip.
I concede that he may have already been ill when he was brought here. I suppose you can't be held responsible if he worsened in your care.
Yes, that must be it. He was already ill when he was brought here.
I may still be able to salvage him.
Oh? How?
Can you have a med lift brought here? We'll push him out and get him to our ship. We have a well-provisioned infirmary.
Absolutely. At once.
The officer fled, the stormtroopers at his back.
Wow. That actually worked,
Han whispered. Su'ulo started laughing quietly.
What?
Han asked.
The part about calling the Wookiee an asset to be salvaged. Kira sounded just like a stuck-up Imperial.
Han translated for Kira and was awarded with one of her magnificent smiles.
You think this fellow is okay?
Han said, prodding the unconscious Wookiee with his foot.
Should be, Kira said. I hope so. If he's not, this is all for nothing.
The officer returned, pushing a hovering gurney ahead of him.
Your med lift, he said.
Perfect, Kira said. Your cooperation in this might mean the difference between life and death for my asset.
Again, Han felt she might be pushing it too hard, but the officer beamed.
Anything else? He asked.
Help us get him onto the lift?
Together, Han, the officer, and the two stormtroopers lifted and heaved until the Wookiee lay across the gurney. His feet hung over the end, but Han figured it would hold.
Thank you, Kira said. Now we must hurry.
She pushed the lift out the door and down the hallway. It glided through the air easily, as if the creature on it did not weigh more than Han, Kira, and Su'ulo all put together.
Han, get ready with the second ball thingy, Kira said under her breath.
That meant she expected trouble. Han reached into his pocket for the gas bomb and palmed it, careful not to engage the button. They reached the vestibule, where the other stormtroopers turned to gawk at the Wookiee on the gurney. They were almost to the lift, just a few more steps.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
The officer said at their backs. Kira ignored him, pressing the call button.
How did a young, pretty girl like you get such an important job?
Han felt his hackles go up, as if being pretty were somehow not compatible with being important. The engineer's gas grenade was cool and hard in his hand, ready to be activated at a moment's notice.
Come on, tell me. How did you do it?
Without turning around, Kira said,
I did well in my aptitude testing.
You're saying I didn't?
Finally, Kira turned, facing him down.
You're just an ensign, stuck in an office job on this dive of a planet. What do you think?
A muscle in the officer's jaw moved. He reached for the comm.
You know, before you go, I need to check with my superiors. Make sure this is a sanctioned removal. I'm just an ensign, after all.
Softly, Kira said, Breathers, now. Han shoved his breather against his nose and mouth. Kira and Su'ulo did the same.
Hey, what are you?
Han yanked the gas grenade from his pocket, flicked the switch, and tossed it into the air in one swift, smooth movement. The little metal ball spun in the air, spewing gas. The lift opened.
Go now!
Kira said around her breather, pushing the gurney and its resident Wookiee into the lift. The sounds of choking and coughing peppered their backs. The door slid closed behind them, and they began to descend. After a moment, Su'ulo removed his breather and shoved it into his pocket. The others followed suit.
They'll be out a long time, Kira said.
I just hope he didn't open that comm before he lost consciousness, Han said.
You sure the Wookiee is okay? Su'ulo asked. He got two doses of that stuff.
I only understand the word for two... Blast! Kira said.
Uh-oh, what?
Han prompted.
Two doses! I didn't think of that! I should have!
Her shoulders slumped.
Two doses of that gas might be fatal. I messed up!
Gently, Han put a hand on her shoulder.
I doubt it. He's a Wookiee. It would take a freighter for all that stuff to hurt him. And your plan was great. Simple and perfect.
It was true. The best plans were simple, so elegant, so sneaky, that no one knew you were trouble until long after you were gone. He'd have to remember that.
Now we're just going to walk right out the front door.
And that's what they did. Prisoners being escorted in and out was a common sight at Corsac headquarters, and few paid them any mind, even when it was a giant Wookiee on a medlift. Moments later, they stepped into the cold Corellian day. No one had even sounded an alarm. Chapter 15. Getting the Wookiee out of Corsac headquarters without drawing too much attention was one thing. Getting him through downtown Coronet to the parking structure was quite another. As they traveled the pedestrian walkway with a giant furry creature on the medlift between them, Kira was certain all eyes were on them. Was that Basilisk staring? That homeless beggar was probably a spy. And those lampposts? Probably filled with hidden cams. If anyone decided to look for them right now, they'd be easy to find. "Just walk casual," Kira told them, mostly for her own benefit. "Eyes straight ahead, as if we've nothing to hide." They were almost to the parking structure when an alarm sounded, piercing the cold air, startling everyone around them. Instinctively, they all froze.
"No, no, we have to keep going," Kira urged.
"Pretend like nothing is wrong." They kept going. The siren wailed and wailed, loud and close. Too close. It certainly came from Peace and Security headquarters. No doubt the officer's comm had gone through, just as Han feared. And when someone went up to investigate, they found a vestibule full of unconscious Imperials. It would take Corsac and its resident Imperial officers a little time to gather their resources, interview witnesses, figure out who they were looking for. But not much time. The Empire had more resources than Kira could imagine. Resources. They were walking out of Corsac alive, with an Imperial prisoner, no less, thanks to the engineer's resources. Everything was so much easier when you had money, connections, influence. Someday, somehow, Kira was going to have all of that. She would have to do better, though. She was tired, sure, as hungry as she'd ever been, but she shouldn't have overlooked the possibility of the Wookiee inhaling a second dose of gas. And she shouldn't have let that ensign get under her skin. If she'd just left without saying anything, the alarm might not have been going off. Most of all, she should have had a contingency plan for walking in and not finding a map posted. From now on, she'd keep in mind that people didn't always follow regulations. It was a good thing Han was able to think on his feet. Come to think of it, they made a pretty good team. Kira thought everything through, and when they met unexpected obstacles, Han improvised. They entered the dark parking structure and found their speeder. The medlift was not quite level with the speeder, so the three of them had to heave the Wookiee up over the rear spoiler, rolling him into the back seat. They crowded into the front seat, Kira squashed between the two boys. Han guided the speeder out of the structure and onto the thoroughfare. She was glad for an excuse to put the riding goggles back on. They made her feel safer, invisible. It was a deceptive feeling, though, and she knew to be wary of complacency right now. The Wookiee was too big for the back seat. His hairy feet were sticking up over the side of the speeder. Of course they were going to be noticed. All they had to do was get to the rendezvous point the engineer had indicated. According to Saulo, they were headed toward some wealthy citizen's fancy estate at the edge of town, far enough away from the spaceport to not interfere with air traffic. Besides, no one would think twice about a small shuttle landing on one of the major estates. That kind of thing happened every day.
"Don't look now," Han said. "But I think that's a police speeder a few vehicles behind us."
"Blast." Kira forced herself not to look, but she and Saulo exchanged alarmed glances.
"Okay, I'm banking into a turn," Han said. "Look casually over your shoulder, as if taking in the sights. and tell me if that's a police speeder.
She did exactly as he asked, craning her head to stare at the buildings around them, sparing only a quick look for the speeders behind them. Her heart thudded. Sure enough, not far behind was a one-man vehicle with long stabilizers for easy maneuverability and a wicked-looking gun mount.
Definitely a police speeder, Kira said. It has a gun turret.
Su'ulo said something about stormtroopers.
Yeah, at least it's not one of them, Han said. They're way better trained than Corsac officers.
Kira risked another look behind them. The police speeder was gaining on them.
I think it's tailing us.
Han reacted instantly, taking a sharp turn onto another thoroughfare.
So what do we do? Kira asked.
I don't know. Improvise, I guess. I've outrun Corsac before. I mean, I was on foot in the sewers, but still.
Han, that speeder turned where we did. It's definitely following us.
Su'ulo pointed to a nearby intersection, saying something about home, or maybe it was house.
We can't, Su'ulo, not yet, Han said. We have to get out of the center of town, then circle around and head for the outer estates.
That speeder is not gaining on us, Kira pointed out. Why isn't it catching up?
That Corsac officer doesn't want to catch us, Han explained. Their job is to keep us in sight and communicate our location to everyone else. Once enough speeders have been dispatched, they'll surround us. They might even dispatch a few water speeders, come at us from the canals.
Holy moons! Kira had no idea how they were going to get out of this one.
That's why we have to get away from the downtown area. Okay, hold on tight. I'm about to do something stupid.
Holy moons!
She and Su'ulo grabbed the roll bar and held on for dear life. They were approaching the seedy entertainment district. Cheap hollow boards promised unspeakable delights, while casting blue and red and purple motes onto their skin, even in the light of day. A portable projector sign was propped up outside a cantina, advertising the concert of some low-rent musician Kira had never heard of.
This is going to work, Han muttered. It's going to work. It's going to work.
You're about to hit that sign, Kira yelled.
I know,
he yelled back. Han hit the left reverse thruster, and their back end swept right, all the way around to the sign. Metal screamed as their rear fender sent the sign flying end over end into the street. Han reversed right and hit the accelerator, powering them back into the straightaway. Everyone behind them swerved to avoid the sign, including the police speeder, which was forced to slow down to keep from crashing.
You did that on purpose, Kira said.
I knew it would work.
His grin was so wide it took up the whole world. Han loved piloting, she realized. This was where he belonged. Han took a quick turn, then another. They skimmed through town, until the entertainment district and the fish markets were mere blips in their wake. Only then did Han steer them toward the neighborhood housing Coronet City's richest, most powerful residents.
You think we lost them? Kira asked.
Only temporarily. Once the stormtroopers figure out which prisoner we sprung and put it together that we're working with the engineer, we're screwed.
Su'ulo asked Han a question.
Don't even think that right now. If that happens, we're especially screwed.
If what happens?
He's worried the engineer won't be true to her word. That there won't be a shuttle waiting for us after all.
There has to be, Kira protested. We have her Wookiee.
She peered over her shoulder to check on him. He was still out cold, but he had shifted a bit. His right arm and most of his head were smashed into the footwell of the seat. She desperately hoped he was all right. They sped through a neighborhood of tenements, tall buildings made of boxy apartments that were stacked haphazardly like children's blocks. Several barefoot kids played a game with a rope outside of one. Laundry hung from another. This area wasn't too different from the freighter boneyard, Kira mused. People built whatever they could with whatever tools they had and called it home. Soon the tenement seeded to a district dense with small, dingy factories and finally to a wide, muddy river.
Toll booth ahead, Kira said,
All toll booths are equipped with cams and recognition tech, Han pointed out. Between that and the toll, they do a pretty good job keeping lowlifes like us away from all the fancy rich people who live across the river.
So once we cross, they'll know we're here?
Yep.
Any other ideas?
Nope.
Su'ulo jabbered at them, waving his arms. You have an idea, Su'ulo? Kira asked.
He has a terrific idea. He says that once we cross, we should go really, really fast.
Kira slumped in her seat.
They were definitely going to die.
They paused at the toll booth to insert their last credit chip. The barrier slid away, and they zoomed across the bridge into Coronet City's finest residential district. The densely packed buildings and steaming pipe vents and endless paver that made up the rest of the city were not in evidence here. Instead, they cruised through quiet, tree-lined streets bordering expansive lawns. Kira had never seen so many trees in one place. Maybe they were specially imported. Estate homes were set back from the street, boasting picturesque fountains, walls of glass, and rooftop landing pads. Su'ulo indicated that they should turn left, and Han complied.
Not far now, Han shouted.
A whining sound made Kira's neck tingle. She felt heat on her skin, turned and looked up. A small starship was coming out of the sky, descending on them.
Han, we've got company!
He dared to glance back, then punched the console in frustration.
That's an Imperial patrol craft. There's no way I can outrun it.
Two mounted cannons are pointed at us, Kira said.
Su'ulo yelled something, and Han yelled back.
Good thinking, pal. Okay, hold on.
Han swerved from the thoroughfare and onto one of the lawns, aiming for a stand of trees. Turret fire clamored in their wake, slinging up chunks of sod.
We're almost there, Han hollered.
Something growled, sending shivers up her back, and she turned again. It was the Wookiee, thrashing in his seat. He was waking up. Han swept from side to side, wrenching Kira's neck, but making them a rougher target. Gunfire erupted all around them. A sickening ping, crunch, sounded. The back end of the speeder scooted sideways several meters, nearly sending them into a tailspin. But Han righted them and accelerated toward the trees.
We've been hit, Kira said, trying to assess the damage.
The Wookiee groaned, but Kira breathed relief when she didn't see an injury. The speeder was another matter. The right rear fender was a mess of warped metal. Dark liquid like syrup leaked from an exposed pipe.
I think we're leaking fuel!
They reached the copse of trees, and Han steered the speeder in and out of tree trunks, as if he'd been doing it his whole life, and not just a few days. The blast cannons were quiet. The lull was only temporary, Kira knew. As soon as they were clear of foliage, it would start up all over again. Su'ulo pointed to a structure ahead. The trees parted to reveal a large pool cabana, open on two sides, with a sparkling blue pool beyond. Han aimed right for it. Fire erupted around them again. Han flew them straight into the cabana and out the other side. The ship dropped down, nearly on top of them. Han plunged toward the pool, and they skimmed over the water. The air they displaced kicked up a huge wake, flooding the craft on their tail. The patrol craft hung back to get its bearings, and Han sped for another copse of trees.
Almost there, he said again.
Another estate opened up before them, even vaster than the last, with rolling hills and artificial lake, and a huge, curving ramp that led to a landing pad high on the rooftop. Su'ulo pointed, jabbering excitedly. They had arrived. But there was no shuttle in sight. Something heavy flopped onto Kira's shoulder, making her jump in her seat and making Su'ulo squeal. It was the Wookiee, flailing awake.
Hurry, Han, she said.
I don't see a shuttle, he shouted. Do you see a shuttle? It's supposed to meet us on that landing pad.
Just the patrol craft already catching up, Kira said.
Should I head up there? Han asked. Even though we don't see the shuttle?
Kira had no idea what to do.
Police speeders and fake uniforms and starships and fancy estates were all so outside her range of experience. Maybe Han could give her just a little more time with his fancy piloting, and she could come up with a plan and... Oh, screw it. Han, I've got nothing. What do your instincts say? He grinned, that cocky, smug grin she was maybe starting to like a little, and said,
We should go for it. I'm feeling lucky.
And he aimed for the curving ramp that would take them to the top of the mansion. The patrol craft was nearly on them again. Han sped around and gained the top. The view from up here was beautiful. In any other circumstance, Kira would have stopped to drink it in. Instead, she leaped from the speeder, yelling, Help me with this giant hairy thing! Han and Saulo jumped out and grabbed for the Wookiee, who flailed back at them.
Careful! He's waking up!
Han yelled. The patrol craft swooped toward them, but behind, barely a mote on the horizon, was another craft.
I think I see the shuttle, Kira said.
They managed to get a grip on the Wookiee and drag him to the ground.
Over here, she ordered. Behind the speeder. We'll take cover until the shuttle gets here.
Which had better be soon. It would be no trouble at all for the patrol craft to readjust its position and come up behind them. Something sharp assaulted her nose. Chemical fumes all around them, rising up from the growing puddle caused by the speeder's fuel leak. Kira realized she had made a terrible mistake.
Back! She screamed. Get back! Away from the speeder! It might blow!
They hustled backward, the Wookiee's heels dragging on the ground. Kira had no idea what kind of ordnance the patrol craft had been firing at them, but laser blasts would ignite that fuel easily. They made it all the way to the edge of the landing pad. Now they had no cover, and there was nowhere to go. The patrol craft hovered before them. A ramp dropped and stormtroopers poured out, blasters in hand. Saulo prayed, harder and faster than Kira had heard yet. The second craft, which had to be the engineer's shuttle, zoomed out of the sky, swooping over the patrol ship, spinning 180 degrees to show them its rear, and touching down a hair's breadth from their huddled forms. Blaster fire thundered, but the shuttle took it all, protecting the three of them and their drugged Wookiee. The shuttle had a forward deflector shield, Kira realized. A really good deflector shield. A ramp dropped down, and a man with cropped black hair and narrow black eyes beckoned.
Hurry!
He said. He didn't need to say it twice. The three of them lifted the Wookiee and stumbled up the ramp into a narrow cargo area. The ramp closed behind them. The black-eyed man helped them lower the Wookiee into one of the jump seats and strap him in.
Buckle up,
he ordered.
We're leaving hot.
Kira had no idea what leaving hot meant, but she buckled up as fast as her fingers would allow. The shuttle was small, built for only 8 passengers, fewer if one of those passengers was a Wookiee. Ahead of them was a cockpit with 2 pilot seats, facing a large viewing window. Stormtroopers continued to fire at them. The patrol craft still hovered above the landing pad, and its cannon turrets were rotating to give the shuttle a direct hit. Their bright green speeder reflected sunlight and laser bolts as it lay bleeding on the landing pad. Kira's chest twinged with something unfamiliar. It was as if she liked that speeder, as if she was sad to leave it behind. A stray blast hit the speeder, tipping it violently. Seconds later, it erupted into a massive fireball, filling the viewing window with roiling flames. Saulo let out a strange keening sound that made the hair on Kira's arm stand straight up. His snout trembled for a moment. Then he turned his head to the side, refusing to look at the smoking scrap heap that was his brother's speeder. Then the shuttle's thrusters kicked in, so hard and fast that they overcame the acceleration compensators, and Kira's rear pressed tight into her seat, the belt digging at her waist. The estates fell away beneath them, growing smaller and smaller. The world widened to reveal all of Coronet City, with its industrial islands and muddy waterways, all cozied up to a vast ocean. Corellia itself became an immeasurable curved horizon, and then a vast bluish orb clothed in rusty clouds. And finally,
a distant mote of white in an expanse of empty blackness. Chapter 16. It was like a punch to Han's gut, watching Rizzo's speeder blow to smithereens. But as their shuttle left the planet's atmosphere, regret gave way to breathtaking wonder. Han was in space. He could hardly believe it. He'd always thought it would be dark and black. Instead, it was as bright as day, and he could see everything from the hull of the shuttle to Kira's face to Corellia's nearest moon in bright relief and perfect detail. The planet grew distant, becoming a tiny, shining dot. Unlike the planet, the sun Coral didn't seem any smaller from here. Just whiter. Maybe brighter. Space, it turned out, was huge. A man could have a lot of room all to himself out here. The shuttle drifted into a turn, aiming for the edge of the solar system. Han watched the pilot closely, watched how his hands danced over the controls, so many of them. Piloting a starship was completely different from piloting a speeder, apparently. You had to think in three dimensions. Even though the ship itself had artificial gravity, out in the black of space, there was nothing to tell you which way was down. The proximity sensor pinged. "What was that?" Kira said.
"We've got Imperials on our tail," said the pilot. "They followed us from Corellia."
The shuttle shook with an impact.
"They're firing on us,"
Su'ulo said.
"Preparing to jump into hyperspace," said the co-pilot.
Han's heartbeat was a drum in his chest. He was finally going to see hyperspace. A second impact wrenched his neck. It would have thrown Han across the shuttle if not for the harness of his jump seat.
"In three," the pilot said. "Two. One."
He pulled back on the lever. Han felt a lurch in his belly, as if he'd just fallen. His ears popped, and the stars suddenly stretched into bright lines of light. He could hardly breathe. It was like they were traveling through a tunnel of light, and it was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen in his life. It was over in mere seconds. The ship dropped back into real space, and though the shuttle's compensators made the transition as smooth as Corellian brandy, he felt the change in his very bones. The pilot twisted in his seat to check on his passengers.
"Everyone all right back there?"
Actually, Han thought he might be sick.
"You're looking a little green, kid. First time in hyperspace."
Han nodded, not trusting himself to open his mouth.
"You get used to it,"
the pilot assured him. The Wookiee whined, something about wet, or maybe water.
"Didn't think we'd see you again, Roo," the pilot said to the Wookiee. "Glad to have you back, though I have no idea what you're saying." "I think he's thirsty,"
Han choked out through his nausea. He turned in his seat to find the Wookiee nodding vigorously.
"We're almost there," the pilot said.
"Thirst is probably a side effect of that gas," whispered Kira. "At least he's not attacking us." Then her eyes narrowed. "What are you staring at?" He was staring at her, and her chin-length brown hair, and her eyes that seemed to change color with her mood. He said,
"It just occurred to me, we're alive. I mean, I really thought we were done for back there."
"We're not out of this yet,"
Su'ulo pointed out. "Just as Kira said, the engineer will probably kill us as soon as she gets the data cube." Han glared.
"I'm surrounded by pessimists."
"Hey, isn't that the sun?" Kira said, pointing. "I thought light speed would take us far away from Corellia."
"It was just a feint," the pilot explained. "To lose our pursuers. We're heading for that asteroid cluster. The engineer's ship is hiding there." "You can do that?" Han said. "Exit hyperspace close to where you entered?" "Well," the pilot said, grinning, "not everyone can do it. And truth be told, we're not that close. We traveled all the way across the system. We still covered a distance that would have taken days to travel at sublight speed." So you're a good pilot, Han said. Kid, I'm one of the best.
The Wookiee growled.
Not as good as Kiru back there, the pilot amended hastily. Aru might be the best pilot I've ever met. The engineer is going to be really glad to get him back.
The asteroid cluster he'd pointed to seemed like a jumble of whitish-gray pebbles floating in space. But as they neared, Han revised his assessment. The asteroids were huge, easily able to hide a starship. If you could somehow mash them together, you'd end up with a small moon. The shuttle veered close to one of them, so close that Han could see its porous surface, along with several impact craters. It was the largest, vaguely round, and the shuttle rumbled a little, compensating for the asteroid's light gravitational pull. The other asteroids nearby were irregular. One was even jagged, like a chunk of it had recently been sheared away.
Su'ulo, you've been in space before, right? Kira said.
The Rodian nodded.
I was really young when we left Coruscant, but I still remember everything about that trip.
Han translated, and Kira added, Yeah, I'm not going to forget this as long as I live.
Which might not be very long,
Su'ulo added cheerfully. The shuttle swung around the asteroid, and a starship appeared before them. Han and Kira gasped. It was shiny and sleek, with curved lines and a reflective hull, totally different from the messy, irregularly shaped Corellian ships he'd seen his whole life. Several levels of viewing decks shone with artificial light. Bright red glittered along the edges of glowing blue drive units. The red was an aesthetic choice, Han realized, like Rizzo's Holoflames attachment.
That's beautiful, Kira breathed.
That's the Red Nimbus, an AC-75P yacht liner, the pilot said. A luxury cruiser manufactured on Nubia.
Han had heard of yachts, pleasure barges with every possible amenity, used by the galaxy's richest citizens. He never dreamed he'd lay eyes on one like this, much less board it. Though, looking at the Red Nimbus through the viewport, he couldn't help thinking that it wasn't for him. Those red lights, the shimmering hull, the overwrought name, it all spoke to form over function. His friend B at the garage would have hated it. Han himself would take a messy, jumbled, fast Corellian cruiser over a luxury yacht any day. Kira obviously didn't share his opinion, though. She stared at the massive yacht, mouth agape, her heart in her eyes. The pilot aimed directly for the side of the yacht. A small docking port jutted out of it. The pilot's and co-pilot's hands flew over the console, making adjustments as the shuttle slowed, pivoted, and backed into the port. It was going to be a perfect fit, like an identichip clicking into a reader slot. The shuttle lurched, and a hollow metal sound echoed through Han's chest. The docking clamps had engaged.
You can unclasp your belts now, the pilot said.
The back of the shuttle opened. The ramp lowered and hit with a thud. Light nearly blinded them. The Wookiee was out of his seat and down the ramp faster than Han could blink. Several figures in white uniforms waited for them, standing in a small cargo bay. The Wookiee rushed over to them and gave each one a massive hug. One young man in particular was lifted from his feet, and he grinned widely, patting the Wookiee on his hairy back.
Good to see you, Roo, he said.
Han, Su'ulo, and Kira followed the Wookiee more slowly, the pilot at their heels.
That's the servant staff, the pilot explained.
His expression saddened.
We already lost two of our own, cut down by Kaldorna during the auction. So we're very glad to have our friend back. What now?
Han asked. The cargo bay contained a small freight lift for hauling supplies. The lift rose to a second level with a glass-encased booth, perfect for overseeing the cargo bay, and, Han was willing to bet, sealed well enough that the bay could be vented in a pinch.
I have to run a maintenance check on my shuttle, the pilot said. A standard procedure after taking fire. That's the engineer's personal assistant there. He'll take you to see her.
Thank you, Kira said, reaching for his hand and shaking it. For getting us off Corellia. You saved our lives.
Yeah, thanks, pal, Han echoed. We owe you one.
The personal assistant was a small, balding man with a very round belly that overhung the waist of his pants.
This way, he said. My mistress is anxious to meet you all.
They followed him up the lift, through the glass booth, and past a galley busy with three chefs. Something smelled amazing, warm and meaty, and gently spiced. Han's stomach growled in response.
I'm so hungry, Saulo whispered. It feels like my stomach is eating itself.
Han knew the feeling. After the galley, they passed through a corridor with lush red carpeting, limned with red floor lights. Paintings hung on the walls at regular intervals. Maybe they were fine art, worth millions of credits each. If so, what a waste. The corridor ended with a short stair, which took them to an elegant viewing deck. A fully stocked bar stretched along one wall. Beside it was furniture for lounging. A divan, a long couch, several reclining swivel chairs, all oriented to take best advantage of the glorious view. Because the entire opposite wall was a viewport that looked right into the heart of star-studded space. A whole wall, made of space-worthy glass. Han couldn't imagine how expensive that was, or why it was even necessary. If this ship were his, he'd be spending all his time in the cockpit anyway. The only viewport he'd ever need was the one in there. Standing before the giant viewport was a tall, slender woman. Her back was to them, and she wore a gauzy silver gown with a low back that exposed smooth, dark skin. Her dense black hair gave her an extra half meter of height. It was wound high on the top of her head, held in place by a silver scarf, the end of which drifted down her long neck. She held a wine glass in her left hand.
You have a plan for this part, right? Han whispered to Kira.
Kira shook her head and mouthed no.
Dear Force, please help, Saulo muttered. Don't let this lady kill us.
The lady in question turned and stared at the three of them. After a moment, her lips turned up into a smile, as choreographed and careful a smile as Han had ever seen. She was extraordinarily beautiful, with full lips set off by a strong jaw and wide brown eyes that turned up slightly at the corners. Dollops of white makeup were painted on her cheeks in the shape of teardrops, a sharp contrast to her dark skin. The only thing giving away the fact that she was not human was her nose. It lay nearly flat against her face, and her nostrils were slit-like, almost grindelid in nature.
"Welcome aboard the Red Nimbus," she said in a low, breathy voice.
"Thanks," Han said.
"Thanks? That's all he had? What happened to Improvise Guy?"
"Are you the engineer?" Kira asked.
"I am."
"In that case, thank you for the extraction," Kira said, "and for bringing us aboard your ship. The Red Nimbus is beautiful."
The engineer waved a dismissive hand.
"It was the least I could do for the young scoundrels who kept my data cube out of enemy hands. Not to mention returned my Wookiee to me. I'm very glad to reacquire him. He's my most valuable asset."
Reacquire. Asset. The words didn't sit right in Han's gut. Saulo jumped in with,
"What should we call you?"
Han almost translated, but Kira beat him to it.
"I'm Kira. These are my friends Han and Saulo. Saulo just inquired about your name."
Kira was better in her tease than she'd realized.
"I'm afraid I have to keep that to myself. For now, call me Genra. It's a title from my homeworld, and I suppose it will serve as a name."
Kira gave her a smile as careful and choreographed as Genra's own.
"It's a pleasure to meet you, Engineer Genra."
Genra studied Kira for a moment, her head cocked as if evaluating the girl. Then she took a sip of wine and stepped toward them, her silver gown swishing at her ankles.
Do you have my cube? She asked, extending her hand.
Han looked to Kira and Saulo, who both nodded at him. So he reached into the pocket of his vest, fished it out, and placed it in her warm palm. She looked close, her eyes plainly assessing it. Then her fingers closed around it as her chest rose and fell with a deep breath.
Thank you, she said. Now, forgive my bluntness, but you all look terrible, like you've been running for days without sleep.
I'm sure we smell even worse, Han grumbled.
Again, that careful smile.
I wasn't going to say. In any case, I invite you to enjoy the hospitality of my yacht. I can offer comfortable sleeping quarters, food and drink.
Her nostril slits flared.
Also bathing. And my staff can launder your clothing.
Kira sighed, probably louder than she meant to.
That sounds incredible.
I'm going to assess the cube for damage, Jenra said.
Han's alarm must have shown on his face, because she held up a placating hand.
You did your best, I know. But the cube has been through a lot, and I need to make sure the data is intact before we make a plan. In the meantime, my assistant will escort you to the head, where you can bathe and change, and then to your sleeping quarters. After you've had some rest, and if you're interested, he'll give you a tour of the yacht.
Oh, I'm interested, Han blurted before he could stop himself. I'd really love...
Everyone was staring at him, so he brought it down a notch and said more carefully,
I'd like to see the cockpit, please.
That can be arranged, Jenra said.
And this time her smile was indulgent.
Eat, rest, and tour. And then we'll talk.
Chapter 17. Kira was so tired she was barely aware of shucking off her clothing and stepping into the shower. Cleaning jets hit her skin at just the right temperature and pressure. The heat penetrated her muscles, relaxing her shoulders, making her legs feel like jelly. Too soon the jets turned off, replaced by dryers that whisked moisture away. Then a light mist of nutrient-rich oil covered her skin and hair. She was delighted to discover that she didn't feel sticky at all, just soft, refreshed. She stepped from the shower and found that her sewer-stained clothing and even her boots were gone, replaced by a simple white tunic, which she pulled over her head. It fell mid-shin, leaving her feet and ankles exposed. Kira palmed the sliding door open and stepped out of the bathing cubicle. Engineer Jenra's personal assistant was waiting outside, along with Han and Saulo, who were freshly clean and wearing white tunics of their own. She'd never seen Rodian feet before. Saulo's toes were a lot like his fingers. Long, green, tipped by suction cups. She forced herself not to stare. Han was grimacing, looking stiff and uncomfortable in his tunic.
We smell like roses, he said, as if it were the worst thing in the galaxy.
Better than sewage, Kira said. Jenra's assistant guided them to a tiny bunk room with four beds, two against each wall. Saulo immediately claimed a top bunk. Han fell into the one below his, and Kira grabbed the bottom bunk across from him. The white linens were smooth, almost silky, and the pillow was as soft as a cloud. As she sunk into the mattress, it contoured itself around her, buzzing lightly with a relaxation frequency and the perfect amount of gentle warmth. She tried to keep her eyes open. She had to think. They weren't safe yet, not really. Maybe she could convince the engineer to... Sleep stole her thoughts. She woke to a hand shaking her shoulder. Kira peeled her eyes open and discovered Han bending over her, the bright red of his burned face very near. Saulo was right behind him, peering over his shoulder.
Kira, Han said. Jenra's chefs made food for us. Do you want to come? Or would you rather sleep?
Food might be the only thing that could get her out of bed right now. Just the mere thought made her feel like there was a hole of aching emptiness where her belly ought to be.
"How long did we sleep?"
she asked, rubbing her eyes and sitting.